WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flap with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
It's on me now, Oops.
You know what to do. Sunday night, you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on Wild Talk Radio, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support the Show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCKET for 9% when you buy your OG Battle Pass Part 2. Yeet. Because we're hashtag epic partners. It's the fallout from the Royal Rumble. We're here to talk all about it. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Rock! Kim, get on the table! Damn it! Get on there!
Yeet.
I'm trying to do my best Pat McAfee.
You're trying. Just
I love when that happens and he's just like, get on the table, Michael!
Michael will do it.
Michael jumped up there, and the funny thing is on the wide shot, when they're showing the entire crowd, and he's screaming at Wade to do it, and you hear just Wade like, God damn it, and you see him, like, trying to get up on the table.
That's great. And, of course, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that would be me. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Royal Rumble Fallout edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Join us in the live chat room at twitch.tv/WTR Live. Hello to everybody currently in chat, which would include the lovely Lindsay Ward from The Rack. And, of course, Matt's there, too, hanging out, just waiting to... have you come in and pick on him like, you know, he deserves to. But tonight we'll be talking about why Drew McIntyre is so pissed off.
Oh, I mean, poor baby is not getting the WrestleMania match he wants. Oh,
that's not why he's pissed off. Apparently, he left the arena immediately after his elimination. And rumor from a source has it that he's pissed off at a certain individual that he refused to name for making it about himself as opposed to making it about the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
oh, don't worry. The internet has picked out two people. We know.
I was
about to say, yeah, there are two people that have been. It's been speculated,
and I watched
this thing with them breaking it down, and it just looked like a simple miscommunication to me. Logan Paul queued up L.A. Knight too early.
Rookie mistake.
No, too early. Not too late, but too early.
Either way, there when you have 9-10 people in a ring, shit is about to go wrong. It happens.
This is what I was going to say, but Drew took his sports bag and went home.
Well, all he did was go to the hotel. He's fine. But
he didn't go home. That's all the way in Edinburgh.
Or Glasgow, or whatever. No, he didn't actually go home. He went to the hotel and will most likely be on Raw tomorrow night.
Wonder if he ordered room service.
I would expect he did.
Well, we can always get in touch with Meltzer. Meltzer seems to know everything.
I mean, the contract disputes. Anyway, we'll get
it
into
was a shot.
We'll get into all of that. But yeah, there were four matches. It went 4.5 hours for four matches. Probably one of the longest Royal Rumble ever, or close to. Because the ending took at least 15-20 minutes by the time, if you break it all down. After Logan got in, it was probably about 15-20 minutes.
I think it was about 15-17, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere in that range, which is up there with Shawn Taker and Cody Gunther in terms of length and stuff. So probably one of the longest in history for the men. Congrats to Roxanne Perez, who now has the record for being in the ring for women. Yeah, for the women's 107 and change.
I believe so. I think Natty extended her overall time for the women as well.
Well, that's what happens when you're in all of them. So,
well, yeah.
Time just adds up, just like Kane's elimination record. He was in a lot of them, so yes, it's bound to add up. Congrats to
Roxanne. 107.47 is the official time.
I believe Nia has the record for the women for most eliminations in all time because she eliminated
in like, one shot.
Yeah, she has most overall in terms of single Royal Rumble with 9 from this. And then overall, she has the most ahead of Rhea Ripley by 8, 28-20.
And that's only because Rhea was not in this year's.
Rhea has not been in 2 of them. Naya's been in all 6. So Rhea has a higher average, but Naya has more overall. Yes, I have the numbers.
And that's why you're the stats guy. that's why he's here. Before we get into the full-on Rumble matches, I want to break down the two title matches on the show, which include the tag team titles, DIY defending against the Motor City Machine Guns for the WWE tag team titles. What did we think of this battle?
I'll let Tim go first because I've had some comments on it already.
Yeah, well, initially I was pissed off because my boys didn't win it when I figured that they were going to. But after the fact, realizing that Triple H is actually investing in the tag division and having the Street Profits come out was not a nasty thing because they're not nasty boys. As far as that goes, really the tag match didn't deliver anything I didn't expect, Brent.
No, I mean, it was the four guys who you thought you were going to get some good stuff out of. I mentioned this last night on the Rec Extra that I appeared on. Thanks, Rock, for the invite on that, by the way. You got a really good match out of all these guys. The first fall was brilliantly done with the false tag. And as I said, you redid the spot with the Bar and the New Day with that, where the guy gets fake tagged in, the legal man gets the sneaky pin, and all of a sudden when you realize that, you're like, oh, wow, that was actually good. Your face has got the second fall, pretty standard fare on how they earned it. And then the third was in dubious order. But what it does is it sets you up to go in any number of avenues that you want to, because, as I mentioned last night, you now have 5 teams that I can count just off the top of my head that are all involved in this tag team title picture. You've got DIY as the champions. By the way, DIY won, spoiler alert. You've got Motor City Machine Guns still hanging out there. You have the Street Profits who interfered to get their shot and to call out DIY as well as get the chance to, you know, put Machine Guns on notice that, you know, don't forget about us. And then you've got Pretty Deadly and Berto and Garza, which have been involved for the past couple of weeks and are still hanging out there. That's a pretty good tag division that you've got sitting there. Plus, you can do a couple of other things if you want to with some other teams. But you're not relying on, like, having to call in tag teams from other areas. You're fostering the division, and you've got, like I said, a number of avenues which you want to go, not only for, you know, the upcoming weeks, but building towards Mania.
It's very true. And they're building the base, which means once they build a base, then you can bring up people from NXT and create more tag teams for a division.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a couple of tag teams sitting down there in NXT if you want to be able to move them. You've got, like, a Gallus who's been there for a while, and you can give, you know, a chance to. I don't think, was it Hank and Tank?
Yeah, they're not ready for primetime yet.
they're not ready. I think OTM still needs some time. But if you wanted to do something like bring up a Fraxium and put them against something like a Motor City Machine Guns or DIY, I don't think anybody would complain about that fact.
No, and it's that style. That SmackDown is building their tag division like as like a fast-paced, high-flying-ish division because it's a lot of the cruiserweight style wrestlers. Like, if you think
like
about it,
like an X division, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You got Montez and Angelo, who are probably the biggest group of them all. But if you look at the other teams.
Well, and the thing is even Montez and Dawkins move really good for their... Like, Dawkins can move for his size. He's not going to be super high flyer, but he can get around, and then you've got Montez that can pull off the absolute crazy moves if you want to.
You know, I'm just thinking back, you're talking about how good the Profits are right now. Just a few years ago, we were talking about how green they were, but the potential, and we were looking so forward literally to this moment. We're here now with them.
Well, and remember, the Street Profits were, I mean, depending upon what you read on the internet, they were pissed off because they weren't getting opportunities. Well, now you're building an entire division where it's like, okay, yeah, maybe you're not going for the tag titles, but you're at least going to be featured in some good matches going into the week if you've got the Motor City Machine Guns, if you've got DIY, if you've got some of these other teams. And it's not just reliant on, oh, look, it's DIY facing random team thrown together this week. Yay!
And you have potential for actually build up a solid rivalry between two separate teams.
Yeah, and you're in all five together. You also have singles matches that you can pull off to build up towards big tag team matches as well. So good quality men there. But yeah, the Street Profits interfered. Angelo was walking around all day, probably all weekend with the crutch to sell it.
Commitment.
So, like all the events that whatever that they were at, they're like, yeah, he was on a crutch. So it's like good commitment to detail.
Well, it also would have been weird if like he just like randomly comes out with a crutch. Like, if he hasn't been walking around with them and all of a sudden he brings it out, it's just like, oh, okay, did he just grab those from the back? If you're walking around with them all weekend now, it's like, oh, okay, or it at least sets up the idea of, like, maybe he's still injured and we shouldn't expect him. And then he shows up and you go, oh, shit, nope, he's good.
I think that was more the plan there.
Yeah.
And then there was the murder fest between Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens for the Undisputed WWE Championship in a ladder match.
Jesus God, you two!
Nasty.
What was your take, Tim?
It was a throwback to some of the brutal matches that we used to see like over 20 years ago. It was not something that was bland enough or formula enough that you were going to go and turn your head away from and pay attention to something else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes were glued to this thing. And anybody who said the match sucks didn't watch it. It's kind of like anybody who says the 60s were great weren't ever there. Or if they remember the 60s, they weren't there to begin with.
They tried to kill each other. They had multiple ladders. They broke a couple ladders. Bodies were driven into ladders. And we had blood. We had a wild Sami Zayn.
I know we talked about it last night. I think one of my favorite spots of this entire match was Kevin in the small ladder.
He's going high risk or medium risk?
Low risk.
I just love it because the first time he sees it, he has the look that I think we all did of like, what the fuck is this? Like, what am I going to do with it? And so he just starts beating Cody with it. And then Cody's sitting there just outside of the corner and he sets it up with the 3-rung ladder and goes on top of it like, yeah, he's going mild risk off of this. And then he's like, nah, screw it. And goes back to just beating his ass. But overall, the match worked well because what it was Kevin letting the aggression happen. The entire match was paced by Kevin and beating Cody up, which is how a match like this should have happened. It shouldn't be like Cody in the lead and Kevin having to try and stop him from climbing. It should be Kevin beating the high holy heaven out of Cody Rhodes and Cody having to drag himself up to stop Kevin at every opportunity from getting the belt, which is what it turned into until the very end.
That ladder spot, holy Christ, did that look scary.
There were two really scary ones. The one that stopped the match.
I'm talking about the last one.
Okay. The other one, I think Cody legitimately got a concussion. I think that was the spot. I think that was the pause. Because he hit off of that ladder, and he didn't move, and Kevin was, you know, still sitting there. And for a moment, I think it was just, are they both okay?
Is he really hurt, or is he just selling the shit out of that bump?
And part of that could play into, like, after the match when they were like, Cody is so beat up that we're not bringing him out for the poster, you know, the post-presser.
Yeah.
Like, I know that
No, go ahead.
I know that some of it is storyline, of course, because you do want to sell the fact of, like, this was a brutal match. We don't want to have Cody out here like, hey, guys, I'm going to answer questions. But at the same time, I think if he did have his bell rung, you also don't want him out in front of the media with bright lights shining into his face, because, you know, if you do have a concussion, you are light sensitive. I think some of that is also precautionary of like, we're going to pull him back a bit and see how he is.
Kind of like in every other sport, they have a concussion room to sit your ass down for half an hour just to make sure you're all right before they let you play again.
And I think that can also play into the fact of like, with that idea of Cody really got roughed up in this match, we're going to see how he is going forward. If it is a concussion, you do have to go through the protocols and be like, is he okay for these next couple of events? You know, he has to pass things in order to be able to compete again. So I'm wondering if that's also playing into this, if like he did get his bell rung and it's like, okay, we need to, because also with Elimination Chamber, he doesn't have to fight. You can hold him back because everyone's going to fight to try and possibly face him or face his counterpart, depending upon what Jay chooses moving forward.
Yeah. One thing about this match that I did appreciate was Sami Zayn coming to the ring and making everybody wonder, why are you here? What are you going to do? Who are you siding with? And ultimately, nothing came about from that. But it was just the added unknown, storyline-wise. What is Sami going to do? Why is he out here?
Adds another layer to the whatever the story is going to end up being.
Exactly.
And the final bit of the match, the final spot of the match, was the Alabama Slam through the ladder off the announce table by Cody, and Kevin's head went through the rungs of the ladder.
Kevin fucking sold that like a goddamn champion.
Sure did.
I have to admit, for a split second there, I was thinking, Jesus, he broke his neck.
Everyone legitimately saw that spot and goes, check on him. Check on him now. But he sat there for 5 minutes in the same spot, not moving, not doing a goddamn thing.
And never mind how painful it was. Yeah, never mind how painful it was going through that ladder. Just think how uncomfortable he was last night holding that pose.
Oh, yeah, his ass over his head, sitting there in a ladder while everyone's all around you. Although I will say the ultimate shot from that match was, of course, at the very end after Cody has both belts and he's standing on the table over Sammy, over Kevin. It's just like, Jesus Christ.
Hell of a match.
Oh, it was great.
Cody Rhodes is still the undisputed WWE champion. And now let's talk about the Royal Rumbles. We'll start with the women. And I ask you guys to come up with some answers. We'll start with you, Tim.
You had homework.
biggest surprise to him in a women's Royal Rumble match?
Biggest surprise in the women's, the return of Alexa Bliss.
How come that was your biggest surprise?
I've been exceedingly busy the last week and a half and haven't been able to spend much of any time at all during the week, you know, looking into things and stuff like that. Absolutely, genuinely did not expect it.
Well, no one really did because, well, contract dispute. And they told you don't read the dirt sheets because you never know what to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's also playing into that. I mean, we started to see some news trickle out today as well, which I think maybe precipitated some of this as well. The fact that that spot really wasn't supposed to be Alexa. It's, according to all intents and purposes from what I've seen, it was supposed to be Shotzi.
That was the listed participant in that spot, yes. Doesn't mean they weren't always planning for Alexa, but they also had her down just in case.
Right.
Things broke down.
And some of that could be that. Some of that could be also, I mean, Shotzi was just wrestled earlier this week, and if she was slightly banged up, then maybe it helped force some of these, you know, quote-unquote contract issues. If there was any, like, lingering things still out there to be like, okay, wait, we really need her back for this. Let's just sign it. It could be one or the other. And, I mean, if that's the case, deal got done. That's all that matters. Congratulations to Alexa Bliss for joining the Raw roster. But if you need to know how much the WWE Universe missed her after 2 years, and it was 2 years ago from this event that she was her last appearance, listen to that goddamn pop when when her old music hit.
That had to be the biggest pop of the night, even bigger than Charlotte's.
And the fact that they used the old music, it wasn't the stuff that she had before she left. It was the old EDM music that she had, so that it was recognizable, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Lexa's back. And she came in like she hadn't missed a goddamn step. She commanded that crowd.
She sure did. So that was Tim's biggest surprise. What was your biggest surprise, Brent?
Mine was, well, I mean, the biggest one was, of course, Alexa. But honestly, I would say one of the biggest surprises for me for the Women's Rumble was how big it got at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of, like, we've seen matches where it's like, okay, they have a couple of eliminations here. They'll thin out the crowd to like six or seven. At one point, I want to say there was like half the field in the ring at one point. And it was like, holy shit, they're getting them all working. And you had, you know, some good spots that were throughout all of it. But I would say the fact that the biggest surprise was, one, how big they let it get in the ring at some points. And two, we talked about this last night, there was one legend, technically maybe two.
Two.
Because of number 30.
Yeah, she's a Hall of Fame legend, yeah. She's a legend.
Okay, fine. So we had two legends. Whereas in years past, you would use a lot of this for the surprises, the legends. But you had, let me do a quick count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 NXT people in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then good representation from the Raw and SmackDown rosters. And let me just say, okay, let me take a moment here. Internet wrestling fan, I'm talking directly to you for a moment. I understand you're bitter and you're whiny because some people did not happen to show up at the Royal Rumble that you wanted to. I get it. However, the fact that they used the Rumble to feature some people, like giving Maxine Dupri a chance to work and show that she's improved after people ridiculed her last year, giving people like Jada Parker a chance to shine in front of a big crowd and show what she may be able to have and do moving forward, being essentially the next version of Bianca Belair.
Giving Jordynne Grace the chance to show what she's capable of.
Getting Jordynne Grace in her actual first appearance on the WWE roster, because last year she was TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Getting someone like Lash Legend, who you're looking to transition to the main roster because she's been featured a lot of times with Jakara Jackson in, you know, okay, maybe we'll bring them up and start to flush out the women's tag division again. You're getting a lot of these people chances to shine, chances to show what they can do on a bigger stage. And yes, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I was a little disappointed that Becky didn't show up either, but Becky can still show up in the next 3 months because WrestleMania is still coming and she doesn't need the Royal Rumble to be, you know, oh my God, Becky's back.
If she's not going to win it, why put her in it?
Right. And yeah. Then also the fact of like, look, you've wanted this thing to happen for the past 7 years. It still hasn't happened. If this person wanted to show up, all they had to do was say, put me in, and WWE would carve a fucking spot out for her in a heartbeat. But if she's not there, guess what? That probably means she doesn't want to be there. So quit ragging on people that are in the match and they're like, oh, why did we have to have so-and-so in this match with, you know, why is Shayna Baszler in this match when we could have had AJ Lee? Why is Sonya Deville there? Why is Maxine Dupri? Because they're getting fucking work.
Yeah, the only question I have about Shayna Baszler is why the hell did she have to be number 11?
Because that was your number.
That's pretty much
you
it.
You got Andrade too, so there you go.
Yeah.
good. All right, so that was the biggest surprise. Your biggest standout star last night in the women's Rumble, Tim, was who?
Well, naturally, it was Charlotte.
Why?
Coming back after, what, just about a year, right?
Over a year.
Well, over a year. And, you know, showing that even though she's got to have that brace on and it was a pretty serious injury that she had to recover from, basically she was given free rein just to be who she is, Charlotte Flair, and not some kind of reworked version of herself.
Okay, so that's your standout star. Who was yours, Brent?
So like Tim said, obviously, because I did not even put her name down as a consideration for mine. My standout star went 1 hour, 7 minutes and change and was featured on the biggest stage as her legitimate transition to the main roster. And that's Roxanne Perez. She looked like she belonged. And I know that she's been in the Rumble before, but after this match, she looks like, yep, she's a main roster star. That's it. It's not, you know, oh, she's NXT's Roxanne Perez. It's like, nope, this is Roxanne Perez. Done.
And then your favorite moment of the women's Rumble, Tim, was what?
The back of Alexa's jacket, what she had written on there.
Which was what for the people at home?
Well, they didn't really show a lot of it on live TV, just a glimpse. But it said Fiend Forever with, in red with a little R between the F and the I. So
there was friend also an S.
Forever. Yeah, Friends Forever.
Yep.
And to me, that was my favorite moment. Just you know the way that they're keeping Bray going with the Wyatt Six, and the storyline that he started before the tragedy of that we had with him, and just like everything else. And then Alexa comes out for the first time since she announced that she was expecting after going through the entire thing with Bray Wyatt, and just like, what is it? Over 2 years later, just the tribute to him from her.
It was her first chance because she never made it to that SmackDown where they paid tribute.
I was going to say, I think, yeah, she 23 was when she faced Bianca, and that was her last appearance in the E before she.
And he passed away 9 months after.
Yeah.
Or 8 months, something like that. So she was never able to pay tribute because she tried, but she never got to it. So this was her first chance to do so. All right, your favorite moment, Ben Brent.
I have 3 words written down. Chelsea fucking Green. She's my favorite moment of the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Because once again, you put her out there and she steals the goddamn show.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of different spots. What was the first one with the four participants? I think it was Naomi, Bianca, Lash, and I want to say Jada. And it was the four of them kind of acknowledging, like, we're all in this ring together. We're all here. And then out of fucking nowhere, Chelsea Green just walks kind of into the middle. And is just like, hey, guys! And then instantly realizes, I fucked up. And gets, you know, properly beaten up. There was the spot with her and Piper, which again, perfectly done. Fucking hilarious. She's about to face both the tag team champions, realizes she's screwed, The number hits. She sees that it's her buddy. And then the first thing she does is she's like, oh, yeah, just you wait. Turns around and is just like, Piper, what's taking so long? Get your ass here. And as soon as she gets in, hides behind her, scuttles under the bottom rope, and is just like, go to work. She should not be this entertaining. For all intents and purposes, Chelsea Green should not be this entertaining. But every time they give her a chance, she just runs with it. And if you hear her interviews outside of the ring, when she's talking about some of the stuff that happens, she completely gets it. You know, she talks about the fact of, like, she hates when people run, like, the baby faces down in promos. She's like, I don't understand that. Where what she does is she'll take shots at herself because it's that thing of, like, okay, if you try and do it, it's not even going to be anything anymore. I should be the butt of the jokes, and I'm going to do it myself. It shows an awareness, and it just shows that, like, she gets it. And for this run, she's just making the absolute most of it, and why they trust her with, like, a secondary title. Why they trust her to be in the spots like Money in the Bank and Royal Rumble and featuring her in moments. And it's just great to see. She doesn't have to be the top talent, but she's making the most of what she's given.
And that's all anyone can do.
Yeah. They talk about trying to grab that brass ring and, you know, like, oh, AEW and Cesaro will poke fun at all of that. But if you legitimately take this and it's just like, hey, we need you to do this, and it's like, okay. Or, you know, she's probably like, I can take a ladder spot through tables if you want. Really? Yeah, I'll do it. Because it's going to look, you know, it's going to look great. And I don't mind being the fall person. Okay. And then when something comes along like the women's U.S. title, it's like, well, it's like The Miz. If you're willing to go out and do the interviews, if you're willing to run with whatever creative gives you and you turn it into gold, hey, let's give them this belt for a while. Let's see what they can do.
Charlotte Flair is your 2025 Women's Royal Rumble winner, and she'll be heading to WrestleMania to fight either Rhea Ripley or most likely Tiffany Stratton.
Rock, did you see the behind-the-scenes interview with the champions?
No.
So Rhea and Tiffany are backstage just like sitting at a table watching it. And I think it was either Jackie or Kathy was just kind of like, hey, so what do you think of the Rumble and what happened? And, you know, Rhea's just kind of like, hey, it happened. You know, if Charlotte wants to pick me, we've run it back. I beat her last time. We'll see what happens. And Tiffany's just sitting there, you know, like, hey, if they want to do that, I'm just telling you right now, WrestleMania is going to be Tiffy time. And I think they asked Charlotte again, like, well, what if Charlotte, or essentially, like, what do you think would happen? And Charlotte just goes, best on you, Tiff, and just gets up and walks away.
You mean Rhea? Rhea
just gets up and is like, best of luck to you, see ya. And then Tiffany again just reiterates it, like, no matter what happens, it'll be Tiffy time. But I just love the fact that Rhea's just like, already been there, done that. Peace! Just gets up and walks.
Good stuff. So now we transition to the men's Royal Rumble, and I ask the same question to you, Tim. The biggest surprise was what?
This is my initial reaction from last night, and not from today, when you posted that. Biggest surprise last night was John Cena coming in second.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's the last Royal Rumble ever. The last time is now. This is my goodbye, my farewell tour. Yada, yada, yada. All of that stuff. And everything leading up to John Cena being in the Royal Rumble. I fell in with the masses and assumed he was going to wind up winning it. Today, I'm thinking, well, shit, wait a second. What's the next pay-per-view?
The Elimination Chamber.
Right?
I mean, technically, mm-hmm. It's not a pay-per-view. It's a premium live event. So.
Well, whatever. Okay, premium live event. Shut up.
See, Rock, I got to use that for once.
I'm just Gen-Xing it here all over the place. But anyway, yeah, the next premium live event, and we know Cena's going to be in the Elimination Chamber for the last time ever.
He made it clear last night that he has earned that right to call his shot. He's going to be in the men's Elimination Chamber. He's going to win it, and he's going to main event WrestleMania. Because as the saying goes, it is best for business.
Business. Three syllables.
Yes.
Yeah, and if he had won last night, then what the hell was he going to do in the chamber?
I mean, he doesn't have to be in the chamber. He could fought a match at chamber. I mean, that's...
Well, he also said it was going to be his last elimination chamber. He never said he was going to be in the match. He could have done an appearance. He could have... He just was going to be there for the last time at Elimination Chamber, is basically...
That's all cover-your-ass type talk, in, as far as I'm concerned. But this is what my thinking was today. Well, you know, wait a second. He says he's going to be in Elimination Chamber. He's going to be in that match. He's... You know what? He didn't need to win last night because they're going to have... They've got him booked to win Elimination Chamber. So... My biggest surprise last night is not the same thing today, but I'm going with what the initial one was.
Okay, so you have it as a certainty that John Cena is going to win the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I know. We got a few weeks before we do the preview, but you might as well go ahead and mark it down.
Let me just bring up two very, very apropos examples. Number one. Shawn Michaels has to face The Undertaker, so he's going to win the Royal Rumble. Loses the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happened in the Elimination Chamber?
I thought Tim would play up the part. He lost.
He came up through the grating, and I think, isn't that the one where he came up through the grating and kicked The Undertaker to cost him?
Did he lose and then had to, then he cost The Undertaker, or he just cost The Undertaker? I forget what it was.
It was one of those where he didn't win the Chamber, so then he ended up still getting Taker, but it took finagling. Number two, we've seen this with John Cena before.
Mm-hmm.
Where Cena wanted someone at Mania. Nope. Well, we're going to do this. Nope. So what happened at Mania? Homeboy had to sit in the crowd and drink beer with fans. It's not a given he's going to win the Elimination Chamber.
Nothing ever is.
Well, that's just my thinking from today, so shut up.
I get it. I'm just bringing in examples of what happened.
Okay.
That's like somebody's mother-in-law saying to her, do you really need that second slice of cake? I mean, have you seen yourself in the mirror?
Dude, if someone ever said that to me, I'm taking the rest of the fucking cake right in front of them. I'm going to be like, is that what you think? All right, fuck it.
You're obviously never going to be a bride.
I don't care.
Having four sisters, I'm speaking from secondhand experience. I've seen shit.
I get that. But also, if someone's forcing that idea on me, my first reaction is to flip them the bird and be like, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, but I've seen shit that would turn you Arizonan.
I am Arizonan.
Bingo.
There we go.
Biggest surprise, Brent.
So I put in parentheses, Jey Uso, obviously. Because no one had that on their bingo card of Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble. But I would go with, aside from that, the big three elimination and what that could mean moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
The way that that all happened with, like, we know that there's hostilities between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. We know there's hostilities between Seth Rollins and CM Punk.
I enjoyed that beatdown after that triple elimination.
We know that there's simmering things between Roman Reigns and CM Punk. But just the way that all played out of, like, Seth tries to eliminate Roman. Roman flips it around and has Seth, you know, on the ropes, and Seth is hanging on for dear life. Punk comes along and flips them both and is like, well, they're both gone. And then Logan fucking Paul, of all people, comes along and flips CM Punk, and the three of them are all just sitting there on the outside of the ring. And it's like, you realize, CM Punk not getting that title match at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns not getting that title match at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins not getting that title match at WrestleMania. And then, as Tim alluded to, the beatdown of Seth Rollins on Roman Reigns. The double stomp. Not just one. He put both feet into Roman's head. The selling of Paul Heyman screaming about the fact that Seth Rollins not only did that, but stomped him then on the steel steps. The look from Punk to Paul Heyman as he left of like, this is gonna fucking cost you. The fact he was eliminated. There's a lot in play here leading to Rumble and, or I'm sorry, to Chamber and what that could mean for WrestleMania. We talked about it last night. If it's ultimately gonna be a three-way match between CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, that was my first thought right there.
Because if you put those three legitimately could be the main event. I know that it's this idea of, okay, the championship match needs to be the main event. There's nothing that says that. You know, Gunther versus whoever or Cody versus whoever could be the opening match. We've seen it before. Hell, last year, that was the opening match of WrestleMania Night 2, was the World Heavyweight Championship. But if you put Seth, or if you put Seth, Roman, and CM Punk as a triple threat in the main event, I don't think anyone's complaining about it. I don't think anyone's going to be like, well, they're wasting this match, or, oh, it should be the, you know, the title should always be the main event. You had three World Heavyweight Champions in the ring together beating the high holy hell out of one another.
I've never believed that the title match always has to be the main event.
No, if there's a better story, if there's something that's going to captivate people more and draw them in, put that as the main. Yeah.
Yep.
Because just because the title match is the main event doesn't mean that it's going to be the best match, doesn't mean it's going to have everyone's interest. Don't get me wrong, Gunther's great, but it could also be the fact of like, no, maybe you put that out first to set the table, and then you have the triple threat at the end to seal it off.
And you have
two That's nights. A pretty good way to go.
You also have two nights.
Yeah, you've got two nights. You have two main events that you can run with. And like I said, there's a lot of story that's here that's intertwined between all three of these guys. And I mean, you could still do the whole, like, where CM Punk cashes in his favor. Maybe it's supposed to be Roman versus Seth at Mania. And it's like, okay, that's going to be a main event. And then Punk goes, I'm cashing in my favor. I'm getting into this match. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, Punk gets exactly what he wanted then. There's ways you can go, and I like that they kind of set this up to be storylines coming out of this instead of the fact of it's like, all right, they didn't win, they didn't get their title shot, now what do we do with them? It's like, there's plans in place for this, and that's a pretty big plan if it involves all three of those guys.
Your favorite moment... Go ahead, Tim.
I was just saying, it all falls into extended planning, extended booking.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite moment of the Royal Rumble was what, Tim?
My favorite moment, Jay winning. Finally, now he can live up to his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
It was, part and parcel with my biggest surprise of the night with Cena not winning. It was Jay winning it. And I'm losing my train of thought, so go to Brent.
Your favorite moment was what? Brent.
Rock, do you have to ask?
Please elaborate.
So, people are in the ring. We're about halfway through the Royal Rumble. And you get the countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The siren hits. Or, you know, the buzzer hits. And you say his fucking name. And he appears. Your TNA champion, Joe Hendry, walked out. And again, Indianapolis lost its goddamn mind singing that song.
I have it as honorable mention, Sheamus getting pissed off. What are you doing for that? I was enjoying that.
Well, that was the whole thing about that was the fact of, like, he comes in and he's like, is he going to go 45 minutes in the Rumble? No. Is he going to get some spots in? Yes. Did they mention the fact he was the TNA champion and feature that belt on TV? Absolutely. We also had a Nick Nemeth mention on WWE television. But he goes in there and he just starts, you know, hitting some spots. He hits The Miz with, I believe it's the standing ovation is what they call it. Or the, I can't remember what that move is, but he hits essentially the what?
The fallaway slam?
The
choke slam thing.
Yeah, the flat hand choke slam where he just lifts the guy straight up and puts him down. He hit that on The Miz, and he kips up, and he does the turn. They didn't get the zoom in right, though. WWE production, you gotta hit the zoom in when he does that move. But he hits it, and the entire time this happens, Sheamus is standing in the corner of hard cam with the smile on his face of like, what is this shit? Now, Joe Hendry then proceeds to eat a spear from the head of the table and is unceremoniously chucked out of the match. But yeah, I love that. Like, right after that happens, you have Sheamus just turn to Roman and it's just like, what the hell are you doing? I was enjoying this.
Yeah.
It's a good kind of funny moment for Sheamus. It's a good kind of like, hey, we got you featured on probably one of the biggest shows he's been on. Now, I know that, you know, like, they've been at the Hydro in Scotland before for, like, ICP matches for him that have had good crowds. But this is 70,000 people in Indianapolis on a worldwide pay-per-view, and you get featured in the middle of this match amongst, you know, a number of stars. I think Joe Hendry is perfectly happy with what happened there. And it also shows the importance of this TNA partnership with the fact of last year you had Jordynne Grace, the women's champion. And it's like she had tie-ins with Naomi, who was in the match. This time you feature, and I mean, you could have pulled in a couple of people that had WWE ties if you wanted to. A Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler. A Jeff Hardy, a Matt Hardy. You know, you had people who you could pull in that would be like, okay, cool, yeah, they're TNA, but they're old WWE, they fit in. You featured the TNA champion in this spot, and it shows like, hey, we're willing to put your guys in here and give them a shine.
Indeed. So I ask you this question then, who was the biggest standout star of the Royal Rumble for the men, Tim?
I don't have one. I've got three.
I'm not the only one.
And we talked about it earlier, and it was all the shit going down after the three got eliminated. The biggest standout for me last night, Punk, Reigns, and Seth.
Okay. And Brent.
So I have two, and they are of the same bloodline. Standout star was number one, Jey Uso, because as I mentioned last night, and Tim kind of brought up already, this is something that has been years in the making of Jey started off as a single star because Jimmy was hurt. And he started to use that moniker, main event Jey Uso. And we're kind of like, yeah, you think so. Or like, okay, maybe one day. Good job. And like pat on the head. But he's worked at it. And he's really kind of carved himself a niche for himself. And we brought it up last night. Rock, he had a drunk presser one time where he mentioned one word. They've turned that into a catchphrase that I think everyone kind of thought, there's no chance in hell this is going to get over. Oh, it's over. The last 5 or 10 minutes of the Royal Rumble shows how over it is when the crowd of 70,000 were just going for 10 minutes doing the arm motions and yeeting.
Let me ask you something. At that presser, who is he sitting with?
I actually didn't see that part.
Cody.
Cody, yeah, when they won the tag titles.
Oh, yeah. Well, and yeah. Cody was one of the people, like, Cody is someone that's been giving people shots a long time. Like, what was it? There was a Twitter post earlier from Jordynne Grace, mm-hmm. who showed a picture of her and Cody from the original All In back in 2018. And she was like, Cody gave me a shot and put me on this show. And then there was the picture of her and Cody at the Royal Rumble 2025. And it's like, he got me to this spot, essentially. And she was thanking him for it. And it's like, yeah, Cody's gone out of his way to kind of help people. And it's this like, yeah, he got to tag with Jey. And Jey got elevated by being a tag, you know, winning the tag belts with Cody and breaking away from the bloodline. And then got featured in main event title matches by himself. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to main event WrestleMania.
Now, just to go back to my point about yeets, everybody's assuming that was a drunken presser, and it probably was, but whatever. He was celebrating and happy and had a couple road pops before he sat down with Cody, but he said that one word, yeet. Who kept repeating it as a joke? Cody.
They both did.
They both were.
Cody kept pushing it. The next thing you know, the crowd was doing it. And it's just, if Cody hadn't have been joking around, repeating it so much, I don't think it would have become a thing. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. And they confirmed it was a drunk press conference between the two, because they mentioned having some adult beverages before they got out there. Because I don't think they were expecting to talk.
So, Jey is one. 1A, Jacob Fatu. That man entered the Royal Rumble, and he changed the dynamic of it.
Oh, just watching him last night in that ring was fun. It was just pure, unadulterated fun.
And I mean, the thing is he sold in that match, but there were times it's like, I think The Miz, like, threw one of the punches, and he just, you know, it hits him, and he slowly turned and was like, rubbing his thumb on his lip, like, did you really just do that? And you just kind of see The Miz instantly regret his life choices.
That one spot reminded me of something that I saw years ago outside. This has nothing to do with wrestling, but this is what it reminded me of. I lived in the neighborhood a while back. This is like in the 90s, where there's this cat that was the bully of the neighborhood. And it would scare the little dogs and everything else, all the other cats. Every animal avoided it. Well, new people moved in and they had this great big, huge, gigantic German Shepherd. Sweetest thing on the planet. Absolutely the friendliest damn dog. The dog's out one day. This cat walks up to it. Dog is looking at the cat, and you can see the look on the dog is, oh, am I about to make a new friend? And the cat just forearms, boom, smacks the dog as hard as it could. And the dog kind of just like stops, looks at it, and tilts its head. And it said, seriously? And that's what that reminded me of.
But I would say one of the biggest things about Jacob is, like, we've talked before about his biggest move is that effortless moonsault that he pulls off, where you can just bounce up and hit it. In the Rumble, you don't really get to hit that move, so it takes away some of his offense, but there were still points where he's, you know, hitting Samoan drops, he's hitting that buckle hip check that he does, and he was just going out there and laying waste to people, and he looks absolutely like the monster that he should be, and we mentioned it last night. A lot of people are now starting to go, solo who? Because Jacob is coming into his own. And you're giving him a mic now to be able to talk and create himself and form more of what Jacob Fatu is. And he's becoming a real force moving forward. So I think this was kind of a coming out party for him. Honorable mention to Penta. Yeah, they wanted to feature him, all right.
Jey Uso is headed to WrestleMania to probably fight Gunther for the world's heavyweight title.
Brent. Works for me.
Brent, some revised housekeeping.
Okay. Oh, hang on. Let me drop this person down. And this here. 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, so we have 12 people that did pick'ems. Right, Rock? There's not anyone else I missed?
I hope you got them all. We'll find out.
Okay, well. So, in 11th, tied for 11th place, going 0-4, we have the 8-Ball and 2K24. They went 0-4. They did not do well.
No.
But it's a Rumble, there's only 4 matches, and considering that 2 of them has 30 people and you don't know half of them, we can cut them a little bit of a break. Tied for 7th place, going 1-3, we have Lindsay, The Wheel, Subway, and Chris P.
I can't believe Lindsay only got one right.
Well, Lindsay went with Io Sky. She went with CM Punk. I can't fault her for either of those. I had Punk as my pick because I thought they were going to go a little bit different than just Cena Lull.
All right.
And then the MCMG and DIY, I think, was a coin flip. So tied for our third place, going 2-2, we have myself, Rock, Rob, Sarah, and Tim. We all went 50-50.
Okay.
Tied for first place, Keishi and Shayla went 3-1.
Congrats to Sarah and Jenna for winning the Royal Rumble entry contest. So, there you go. Well, that's our show.
That's it, everybody. Programming note, the annual tradition happens next Sunday, doesn't it, Rock?
It does. There's no show.
Yes. No, we're having a super special show, right, Rock? You're going to produce like a 3-hour special.
Oh, no. Rock and I are going to be talking back and forth while we watch the Eagles beat the Chiefs.
Oh, the Eagles are in the Super Bowl? Oh, I forgot.
I know. You're not used to seeing a team in the Super Bowl because the Cowboys haven't been there since the 90s.
And this is what, Billy's second trip in how many years?
In the last 5 years, second one in 5 years or 4 years, something like that.
Oh, so they're going to lose again to the Chiefs. God,
at least we got there.
Hey, yeah, last time you lost, it imploded your fucking team. So let's see how that goes.
Anyway, yeah, this year I'm jumping on Team Eagles. So
have fun with that, Rock.
I know, second in 3 years. Anyway, Monday night's Raw post.
Are you implying I'm bad luck or something?
How them Flames doing, Tim?
Right now, they're currently leading in the game by a score of 3-1, and the team that is supposed to be at the bottom of the league is in a playoff spot solidified. Thank you. You want to open up that mouth a little wider and insert your other foot?
No.
Yeah, so there you go. Anyway, the fun kicks off tomorrow night, immediately following Raw with Post Show.
When it all ends, we're live. So was that the Raw Post Show?
Yeah. And I know everybody wants to know Lindsay's thoughts. Well, you've got a chance to actually listen to the archives because they went last night on a special edition. But she's going to be back on Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, with another edition of The Rack with Rock. Yep.
We're going to have news, notes, and a discussion of some sort. It's Rack Live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And as Tim mentioned, we are not live next Sunday because Super Bowl. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim.
I am at Flames Forums, and you should follow me because I'm doing lots of stuff, and I'm the most active on social media here.
Congrats.
Yay.
Right.
I mean, you can follow me on various social media if you want to. I'm either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens at some of them. Look, just try them and see if you can find. You'll know if I'm that one or not.
There you go. Chat, as a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, you can use carry code ROCKSTACK to 49 items, of course, hashtag Epic Partner. Send us home, Tim.
Well, that's it, everybody. Hope you enjoy the Royal Rumble. My favorite pay-per-view, I'm sorry, PLE of the year is in the history books, and hope you enjoyed our breakdown of what we thought about it. That being said, have yourselves a fantastic next 2 weeks, guys. We'll catch you for another edition of WTR Sunday Night, 2 weeks from tonight.
Okay. Hey, let's get it, Oos.
Hey, I'm about to get them, Oos. I'm about to get them all. Let's go.
Oos.
It's just me, Oos. Day one, it's just me, Oos. Day one, it's just me, Oos. Day one, it's that. Light them all up and knock them down like this.
WildTalkRadio.com.